Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
So, welcome to the show. And today is Tuesday, and this is going out live on Mintwave Radio Station. You can just ask Alexa for Mintwave Radio or go to my website, KarenRobertsCoaching.com/Mintwave-radio, to listen live and to see our schedule for the rest of the week. If you're watching this on a podcast, again, you can see other shows. Go to the website, KarenRobertsCoaching.com/podcast-network. You can download the app for Apple and Android. Please subscribe to any podcast that take your fancy. If you want to leave a comment, please leave a comment. So today's episode is 119. And today we have Sarah, who is a mentor coach for survivors. And she's already been a health and fitness coach for the last 12 years. And today we're going to be talking about releasing shame and stepping into full purpose and abundance. So my name's Karen Roberts. I'm your host. We provide a platform for any coaches out there, consultants, therapists, or healers to get their message heard to the people that need to hear it. So as owners of Mintwave Radio Station and the Raising Vibrations podcast network, we are changing the world one vibration at a time. So welcome to the show, Sarah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Karen. It is such an honor to be able to share with you a little bit of the journey.
Fantastic. And so Sarah is, she's both a coach and a mentor, offering guidance for those on their journey of inner healing. Shouldn't we all be on a journey for inner healing? Her passion is to see every brother and sister walk free from shame and step into their fully healed life, knowing who they are created to be, walking in forgiveness, love, purpose, and passion. Sarah's also been a health and fitness coach for the past 12 years. She's married to a high school first love. Wow. And has two teenagers, aged 17 and 14. She has a deep-rooted faith in her creator God and speaks boldly on his healing in her life. Her marriage story is also one of restoration after a complete explosion from hidden addictions, betrayal, sexual brokenness, to a marriage that is fully healed and transformed. So Sarah and her husband also share their marriage story publicly. Hope is never lost. So she's not going to waste her pain. She's going to speak openly on her journey of walking through hell with the prayer that perhaps there will be one soul who can hear her words, feel less alone, and grasp onto hope once again. Sarah, shame released. Purpose unleashed, abundance increased. Wow. Now that is a bio. Love that. Thank you so much, Sarah. So, oh man, you're going to have to explain yourself, girl. So, would you like to share with the listeners, wow, a little bit about, yeah, where do you start?
Right? Where do you start? There's so many. I feel like in everyone's story, there's so many places where you can pull out, oh my gosh, you saw so much growth here. There's so much growth here. I really want to start back in 2014. In 2014, I found myself on a heap in my living room floor, just devastated. Broken, so full of pain. I felt like, have you ever had someone say, may I pour you a glass of water? And you hold out your glass and they start pouring and you're like, whoa, stop. And they went a little bit too much full. So it's right to the brim, right? Right to the brim. And so now if you even move it a slight little bit, it starts to spill over. And that's where I found myself in 2014. I was just broken and devastated. My marriage had just exploded about 2 months prior to this moment on my living room floor. And I remember just yelling at God, like, how did I get here? Like, who am I? I so ashamed of who I was. Life just was not how I had planned. And is anyone else identify with that? It's like, this is not how I envision life. Okay, there's got to be someone listening. It's like, how did I get here? Like, where, how? Grief, pain, devastation, shame, just all of the things. And I remember thinking, where? Like, where through all of the journey? I was in year 7 of my marriage at this point. And where did I shut my heart down? Like, I was so cold, and my kids were kind of caught in the crossfire of the marriage that had exploded. See, 2 months prior, my husband and I actually both at the same time decided to you know, things had been not going well, and we decided to share with each other the truth, finally. You know, we had kind of been living this life of pretending, and it came to a head, and it was like, it's time. And so we shared that we, you know, he had been hiding a life of hidden addictions for 8 years. He had come into the marriage saying he had been free of pornography and kind of like emotional affairs and stuff. And unknown to me, he had carried that into the marriage. Well, I had brought in such sexual brokenness that I hadn't dealt with. See, at age 18, I was raped. And what I did to myself after that was create a story of how it was my fault. I created this, how could I have put myself, I should have known better, how dare I? So what happens when trauma happens to us is our brain is neurobiologically wired to have to make sense of it. If we can come up with the why, at least we can put it to rest. It drives, our brain goes crazy if there's no why. There's no why. So if something that doesn't make sense, such as horrible anything, right? Trauma, abuse, that doesn't make sense. As humans, we're not designed to cause pain to other people. So there is no sense to it, but our brain needs to have some sort of, let's make up a story. And so often we put that story on us. We somehow switch it so it's on us. And so after age 18, because of the story of how it was me, I should have known, all the things, my life became just chaos. And what I did was create this now self-sabotage towards myself. Unknown, this is in the subconscious, but unknown to me, I'm punishing myself. And so I got into an abusive relationship for the next 3 years, emotionally, physically. And what I was doing was punishing myself. This is all you deserve in life. You're used up. Who are you anymore? This is all. And my desperate attempt now of, if you have a belief that you've caused this horrible traumas to yourself, you're creating this now desperate need to have some sort of kind of self-worth. And what I did was told myself, lied to myself that I needed to stay in this relationship because I would be the one to love this abuser. And that would be the way I would get self-worth in this world. I would be the one. I could stay in this abusive relationship because people were going to look at me and say, wow, you stay with somebody that treats you like that? Like that, that's like admirable, right? This is the twisted thoughts in my head. Oh, that's admirable. I'm staying with this. Or if I showed someone my bruises, they would say, oh my word, how can you stay with that? I'm going to go and I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to rescue you out of that relationship. And so I was actually one in that abusive relationship. I would show my bruises. Why would I show my bruises? So many people hide that. I was looking for someone to say, you're worth more than that, Sarah. Why don't you leave? And so all of this brokenness, chaos, was like essentially like what I think of it now is I love visuals. And so what I think of it as as if someone has taken a gun literally and shot you. And what I did to myself was I actually ended up shooting myself from causing this story of how dare you put yourself in that situation, Sarah, when you were 18, how could you? And so I actually shot myself on top of getting shot from the woundedness of abuse and all the things. So now I have been walking around for years with these bullets lodged in my heart, my soul, my mind. They're lodged in. And what I did was put a finger bandage over top of them, thinking, I'm good. Like, that's, I'll be fine. Like, I can just bandage it up, cover it up. I'm okay. And so I went into my marriage with multiple bullets lodged inside my soul. What do bullets do lodged inside your soul? If we just think it practically, if that literally is what it is, what's happening to our body?
It's going to fester. It's going to fester.
Complete.
It's not going to be good, right?
Nothing, right? And so often, there's got to be people that identify as you're listening. Like, how many times do we want to just cover it up and go on with, I'm good, I'm okay, like, I got this. Like, I don't need to deal with that. It's in the past. And we carry on.
We want to run away. We want to run away from pain. We don't want to face it. It's a natural response, thinking, yeah, I'm okay. I'm going to deal with this. But do you?
Right. Right. Do you? Exactly. And even thinking that my bandage, my little finger bandage over my bullet was how I dealt with it. You know, we sometimes create this lie that it is dealt with. Well, that's a little cartoon finger bandage over this deep bullet wound, right? What do we need to do is get that bullet out. Like, that has to happen first, right? How do you heal something? You got to get that out. And then you got to clean out the infection. So anyways, all of that to say, I brought all this brokenness and self-hate and shame into my marriage. And so my husband and I, he has this hidden addiction and his own stuff. I have this, all this brokenness I've dealt with. And now we try and make this beautiful marriage work. Well, obviously there's a complete disconnect. Me with myself, him with himself. And so at 7 years in, I was so shut down. We were at a place in our marriage where I actually would have said, I hate him. I would have said out loud, I hate my husband. There's no love there. There's nothing left there. I just have no feeling left. And so an opportunity presented itself for me to, I got a text from a guy and I knew that as soon as I responded to that text, I was making a choice. I was making a choice that I was leaving my marriage, that I was going to pursue this text. And so I took that journey for the next couple months of pursuing this man outside the marriage and purposely knowing and on purpose kind of knowing that as soon as my husband asked me, why have you not been even like hugging me anymore? Because I immediately was like, I'm going to stop. Touch not even nothing with my husband. And as soon as he asked me, I'm going to tell him and our marriage is going to be done. So that was a couple months of that. The moment where my husband and I decided to tell each other, my husband had this, he says it was like almost like an audible, but in his thoughts, like an audible voice outside of himself that said, it's time you own up to your wife. You stand up and be the man that I've asked you to be. He says it was God. Like, my husband, we have a faith, right? But he had never really had a deep faith before this moment. But he felt it was like, own up to your wife and stand up and be the husband and father that I've asked you to be, that every man should be and every woman should be. We should all be full in our roles, whatever role, you know, roles we are in life. And so we ended up driving into the country and he said, Sarah, I have to tell you something. And he came clean. And he said, I've been hiding this hidden addiction from you for 8 years. And, I've lied. I've had, emotional affairs. I have kept many things from you. And I was so shocked. So shocked, because I thought I was about to tell him what I had been doing for 2 months to end the marriage. And here he tells, I could not even wrap my mind around it. And I, at that point, I was so angry and I hated him and I was so shut down. I was just like, well, screw you then. Screw you. Good thing I have something against you now, because like otherwise it would have just, you know, I felt like justified in my brokenness of you know, sharing. And you know, that was the moment of explosion. And what happened actually is that he had this complete, you know, in Cinderella where the fairy godmother goes bibbidi bobbidi boo and she has this beautiful new dress. it's like that happened with my husband. God, he literally surrendered everything in that moment. Like he said, I am actually not going to, he took ownership for his part in it is what happened. So he said, right. You know, even if this is the end, I, for once, am not going to be the one to walk out on you. I'm not going to leave you. I don't blame you for what you did. I'm going to take ownership and be the man and the husband that I need to be. Whether I get you back or not, Sarah, I need to be the man that I need to be, because it's the right thing to do. Not because I'm going to win you back, or not because it's because it's the right thing to do. I need to be the father I need to be, that I should have been for all these 8 years. I need to be the husband, whether you choose to be with me or not. And I thought that was just BS. Am I allowed to swear in here? I thought it was, all his words were just, yeah. Okay, I've heard this before. You, for how many years now, 8 years, you have been saying, oh, you know, yeah, we'll do a marriage course and I'm going to try. And then it would just be like, it just wouldn't work. We'd be two passing ships, right? And here I am carrying on with my bullet wounds inside. I was not able to connect with him either. And he just started to change into this man that was respectable, someone I could admire. I would get up in the morning at 5 a.m. He was downstairs reading his Bible, and there was books around him about how to be, you know, a father and a husband. He started to have checklists on his wall of just that he had called his mentor, that he had went to his meeting, that he, and he started to just do things. This was without me, just that he was just doing his thing. He was go every day out to meetings, out to mentors, out to all these things. And I was still just angry. I was angry. I kept pushing him and pushing him, just freaking leave. Like, we're done. Our marriage is over. I decided 2 months ago, like, it is, there's no hope anymore. I checked out. I am done. And he just kept saying, I'm not going to be the one to leave. I'm not going to be the one to leave. If you want to leave, you're going to have to walk. I'm not leaving. I believe God's told me to stay, and I will not leave you. And he started to just, you know, leave little notes around the house for me. Sarah, I love your smile. I've always loved how he would bring flowers home. He, you know, he said, I remember him saying, Sarah, I know I'm the last person you would ever want to touch ever again, but I believe you need a hug. And so I'm going to offer you a hug every day. And so every day he would say, Sarah, do you want a hug? And I was like, no. And then the next day, Sarah, you want a hug? No. Sarah, do you want a hug? No. Sarah, do you want a hug? Stop already. No. And he would carry on with his day. He would just kept asking that. Do you want a hug? Do you want a hug? And he just totally was transforming. He would got up on Sundays and started taking the kids to church. Like, he was such a different person. And coming from being raped at age 18, coming from the abuse, coming from the brokenness, I trusted no one. I just thought, this is too good to be true. Like, no one can stay after what I've told him. Like, I don't know, it's going to end. Like, this is too good to be true. Nobody can love someone like this. This is not going to last. And so I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. When's it going to drop? When's it going to drop? I did not believe. I had so much self-hate for myself. It was like walking around with your eyes downcast, right? I couldn't hold my shoulders up. I was not proud of who I was being. I was not proud of the mother I had been. I was so broken and angry. but anger covers hurt, right? It was like I was coming out with anger, but I was covering the deeper layers. And the moment that that really sat with me and showed me what unconditional love truly looks like, and not with my husband, but with a God that created me, was he kept doing these things. He kept loving me, my husband. And I finally was, it was just such turmoil inside that I just did not believe he was going to stay. He was like, in my mind, he's going to walk out in any moment. Like, stop playing. Like, you're turning into this beautiful man that I could admire because this is just an act. I didn't believe it. And so I remember that one day I said, you know what? Fine. If you're not going to leave, then you're going to watch me. Tonight I'm going to go out with that other man and I'm going to go upstairs tonight and I'm going to get ready and I'm going to look so dang good and I'm going to like just look like 10 out of 10. So I went upstairs. I got all done up. I came downstairs with just like this, like, screw you to my husband look in my, and I can't, and I looked good. I had my heels on and he knew. And I said, all right, you know what I'm doing tonight. Are you going to stay now? You going to stay? See you later. And I left.
And not pushing him away and pushing him away and pushing him away.
This is going to be the final straw. He's going to leave now. No one can handle this. About 3 minutes down the road, I got a ding in my phone. And that ding was a text. So, you know, whenever I had a moment, I don't know if I pulled over or not, to look at my text. I can't remember. But I opened it and looked. And the text was from him. And it said, hey, Sarah, I just wanted to let you know how beautiful and breathtaking you look tonight. And I will always be on your side. Love, Matt.
My goodness. So what a transformation. And he was just holding on to that complete, you mentioned that unconditional love.
Like, how is that even possible? And that sat in my heart, like that sat, like it, I could not enjoy myself that evening how I had hoped to enjoy myself, because this unconditional love that I had never really felt before, and I felt it from God. See, when I left, unknown to me, my husband had actually went downstairs and he shut the laundry room door. He dropped on his knees and he screamed at God. He said, I don't know if I can do this. This is too hard. And he felt God say, you send her a text. And he sent me that text. And what I started to feel was my heart crack open that day. Like maybe, and it wasn't even that I felt the love of my husband. It was like, oh my goodness, how can I be such a horrible human and have this love show up in my life still? Like, how can my husband love me, but also this like creator God love me? I felt just like this, it was like a mix. You couldn't separate, just this intense love. And so now fast forward 2 months to me on a heap on my living room floor. And it was the moment where I had said, Matt, I need to process. I haven't had space. It's been the kids. It's been you. I was running a daycare. I had like little toddlers around that whole time. I said, I need space to process. And so what happened is they left. He left for the weekend. He allowed me this space to process. And I woke up in the morning and I turned on an album that I had forgotten about on my iTunes. And it was this beautiful artist, Kim Walker Smith. And the very first song that came on said, you breathe your life into my lungs and you bring to life these dry bones. And I just burst. Everything inside just burst. I felt it was from, like, I felt God saying, I am breathing my life back into you. Like, I am here for you. your dry bones, I'm going to bring everything back to life. Like, I am so, I felt like shiver, like tingle, like God was in that, like in the room with me, like wrapping his arms around me. Like, I got you. I don't care how horrible you've been. I got you anyway. And that was the moment of complete release and broke. See, I broke wide open, and that's when the healing could start. And my husband came home the next day. I cried for 12 hours. I cried, I journaled, I screamed, I cried, I journaled, I screamed, and I kept going, and I kept going. And the next day, my husband came home, and he said, "Sarah, do you want a hug?" And I said, "Yes, I want a hug." And we embraced, and we cried, and he had left the kids, and so we laid on the couch, and we cried and cried and healed. And, you know, that was not the end. That is not the end, but that was the beginning of my healing, of realizing that my self-hate and anger and all of the things that I had held, it didn't need to be in there. Like, I could release. It was okay, you know? And so then we began our healing journeys, and we both went hard into, you know, therapy and meetings and all of the things, but the healing began. And we celebrated 16 years, you know, this past year.
Wow. So there is hope for some. So even going from really feeling hatred towards your partner. And so what I hear from you is really he accepted. And I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? Accepting how you've been. And then moving forward. But if you don't accept it, so I suppose it sounds like it, when you're in denial, the next step is to accept the isness of what is or what has gone on. And then you can start, but without sort of acknowledging it, accepting it, and then being willing, being open to the healing process. So now you've come through that. And so how many years ago was that?
That was 9 years ago now.
Right. And so from that point, what was your sort of next step? Well, how come you're doing what you're doing now?
Yeah. So, and I like how you said that, how you had to face. So one of the sayings that we have to accept it is that has stuck out with me. I really needed to begin my journey, right? Like, yes, I had these incredible moments with my husband, but my journey was just beginning. And the saying that I use is face it, feel it, and heal it. Because we cannot begin the journey, just as you said, Karen. There is no journey to take if we're carrying on again with those bullets, right? And so my facing it, I had to face what had happened to me at age 18. I had to feel what had happened to me. I had to heal. So you can't, you will not feel or heal until you face it. It has to go in that order. You must face it. Then you get to feel, and then you get to heal. And so I began to take the steps of healing, of allowing what had happened. It is not who I am. It's what happened. And then I created a false narrative story of how it was my fault. And so I got to release that. We get to release, you know, going on that journey back inwards towards yourself to actually say, hey, I got to take this little finger bandage off. It's time. And to go to the right places for those healings, right? I got to figure out where it all came from, you know? So I really began my healing journey, and that has led me kind of to where I am, is that journey of the therapy and doing what I needed to do, and the support and the journaling and the music and the constant just pushing myself one little bit more forward. Look, it did not feel good at all to take the bandages off. I'll tell you, that does not feel good. It gets worse before it gets better, but it's so freaking worth it. It is so worth it. It's so worth it. If you have been carrying around that thing that's poisoning you and you get to take that out and actually heal, how much more vitality and energy and joy and abundance are you going to have when you deal with it? So much more. I am living proof. that it's life is so beautiful if you take that road.
And it's needed, like you just said there. It's not necessarily fun.
Nope.
We're not talking about having a fun journey here, but a necessary journey to heal. Otherwise, you know, suppressing all of that. And nobody does this, you know, and it can be from anybody, and it, you know, not necessarily, you know, I don't want to put one trauma more important than the other. So it doesn't even matter what the trauma was, or, you know, how, it doesn't matter at that time. It could be, you know, somebody could have gone through trauma being a lot younger and nothing that, you know, what we would consider as major, because there's no levels here. But whatever the trauma is, it's affecting you subconsciously. Like, so you weren't aware. How, where did you get to that conclusion that that's where it was coming from? Because quite often we're going, it's on autopilot, right? And sometimes we're not aware. Did you think that you'd completely dealt with that back then, so that had nothing to do with it? Or when did you become aware consciously that you had this unconscious program running?
I really believe our body organically brings stuff up when we're kind of ready. And so this was probably when I really had to go back and deal with what happened at age 18 when I was raped. This was for sure a year or not after now my husband and I are in a really good place. So we're in a good place. I feel that I'm in such a secure place with my relationship with God, with those around me, with myself, that I feel like organically my body was like, okay, now you're going to be able now in the place you're in to handle and deal with this. So I really believe, you know, like the layers of an onion, like I had dealt with things. And I didn't even, my body, my soul, my mind, it wasn't even on a conscious level that it was there, because I probably wouldn't have been able to handle it or go down that journey, you know, it, at other place, time, periods of time in my life. So I do believe there's an organically, your body will start to tell you, there'll be little signs, you'll hear something and it'll stick, you'll hear a line. And all of a sudden, everything starts to point you in the direction of it's time. And to just like trust that process, that means you're going to be able to walk it and handle it, and you're going to be okay. You're going to survive it, you know?
Right. All in the right time, like you say, when you're ready to handle it, because as human beings, we tend to want to run from pain. So anything, if we know that it's going to cause some emotional pain, then in an ideal situation we don't really want to get involved with that. No, I'd rather be here in my in my bubble and everything's okay, I'm okay, I don't really want to go down that road. But well, like you said, you're proof that things can complete 180 complete 180.
And you know, Karen, as I went back into my childhood, you know, as you said, because it doesn't have to be, you know, the things that we put, oh, the trauma, and it can be such little things. I have a fascination with the brain. And as I was doing my healing journey, you know, now in the course that I take people through in the steps, we talk a lot about the reticular activating system, your RAS system, which I'm sure we've all heard variations of it, right? We all have a filter system, a way of viewing the world. And it's scientifically, it is that reticular activating system. It's in your brainstem, it's the back of your brain. And what it does is it creates your perceptions as you are born, as you are now into toddler, you start to create this filter system, this grid system with which you look out of. Now, we need this reticular activating system because let's just take an example of if you're driving your car. If you don't have a filter system and you're taking in everything that's happening, you're not able to focus on the road. You're taking in the bird that's flying, the ball that's going over there. But our reticular activating system keeps us focused on what it believes and that needs to happen, that is important to you. So you need to focus on the road and it cuts everything else out. If you're scrolling on a Facebook page and all there's ads everywhere, but you're trying to look for something, you're not going to look at the ads. Your reticular activating system is making you focus on what you need to focus on. Another one I like to think of it as is it's like a bouncer. You have a bouncer in your head, in your brain. So when you develop this particular activating system, grid system, your bouncer now is only going to allow in what you believe to be true, what you're, and it's not, this can be a negative or a positive. See, as a young child, I felt very unseen by my parents. They were wonderful parents, but I felt unseen. Have you heard of the five love languages, Karen?
The five love languages?
Yes.
No.
So there's, okay, this is, how much time do we got? This is very fast.
Yeah, no, we got, yeah, you're all right. We got plenty of time.
Let's talk about this. This is very fascinating. So the five love languages was coined by Gary Chapman. He's written books on it. There's from anything, from finding out your five love languages. You can actually go online and type in the five love languages personality test. And what it is we all have a top love language. We need them all. Okay, so let's go through them. The five love are, one is quality time. Okay, so quality time is one. Physical touch is one. Gifts is another. Acts of service and affirmation. Now, what it means is that we all are innately have a top love language that speaks to us the most. So let's take the two. For me, I have my two opposites. I am a quality time person. In order to feel the most valued and loved, if someone speaks to me and says, Sarah, I would love to just hang out with you. Let's go for coffee. I want to hang out. That is like, fills me right up. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, I love that. I feel loved and valued and treasured. Gifts is my least. So if someone comes and gives me a gift, but they never speak quality time to me, I will never actually feel valued and treasured and loved. Now, right. Is it true that they don't love me? Or is it true that they're just speaking a love language that perhaps is their top?
There you go.
Right? So we speak to others what is just naturally what we think is the language that they're going to want to. Okay, so let's take it by this. Spanish and English. Let's say, I mean, obviously this wouldn't happen, but let's say my mother only spoke Spanish and I only ever could understand English. And my mom, every single day of her life, said in Spanish to me, I love you, I love you, I love you. And she said this to me every day of my life, I love you, but it was in Spanish. As a child, if I can only understand English, what is my belief system growing up?
Yeah.
My mom never said she loved me. Mm. Right? So this love language thing is
perception.
Powerful. You get to see, right? You get to see, wait a second. My love language was quality time. My mom, I was the oldest of five kids. My belief system was I'm not worthy, I'm not seen, because I didn't get my love language. But in reality, my mom was speaking with, she was doing things for us. She had little notes, words of affirmation. So words of affirmation is wow, like encouragement, hearing those good things. Acts of service is doing things. How can I help you today to make, you know, can I help you with your homework? Those kind of things. My mom was speaking love to me all my life. So was my dad. But they weren't speaking the top quality time. And so I came out as a wounded child, even though in reality they had been speaking. And so I hope that that can set someone free listening today, because I really think that's a powerful thing to start to realize, is that it's not necessarily true the things that we've it might be that someone you desire love from has just been speaking to you in a different language. And if you can discover what yours is, and they can discover, and you can start to see, like if someone has children and they climb all over you and they're always cuddling up to you, that's a very easy indication that physical touch is probably one of their love languages.
Yeah.
You know, you'll start, you now, Karen, you'll start to see, you'll be like,
yeah, hey, start to see it. Yeah, I've got one that is and one that isn't.
And yeah. We all need all five are important. It's just, you probably, Karen, speak one that you don't even know you're speaking over the others.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I suppose that's, you know, it's like the you know, your basic, everybody's basic human needs. You know, everyone's, we've got them, and everybody is slightly different in what priority order that you put them in. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that makes a lot of sense why some people can miss interpret the others, and they think they're being unloved, but actually they are. They're just saying it in a different way. So that's actually very useful for people to know, because then they can take a step back and have that understanding. Again, awareness. When you're not aware, you're just thinking that person doesn't love you. But then when you are aware, and then you can see, okay, well, he's doing that one and I want this one, then you can talk about it.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And never mind, if you now start to learn your other, the people you love in your life, their love languages, you can start to speak to them in their languages, right? Like, yeah. I'm not a gift. So, but if I have a child or my partner is, I'm going to make sure to be intentional in now buying gifts for them.
Yes.
And speaking to them in that. Like, it's a really powerful, powerful concept. So
you use the word intentional, and I think that's massive. Then you can be intentional rather than going on autopilot and you didn't even realize that those were your things. Because we are just doing things on autopilot and then wondering why, maybe, oh, well, you know, he's giving me gifts, but all I want is some quality time with him. Right. He's getting it wrong. He's getting it wrong. But actually, you're getting it wrong. You're missing. Yeah. It's like, well, okay. So, yeah, interesting. Yes, I haven't heard that one before. But, yes, it's similar to, it's, you know, we are all different in what we perceive as to be the important things. Are we tactile, or are we going to say our love with gifts? Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So for you now, now your purpose is to help other people. What is it? Who are you looking to help? What problems specifically are you looking to solve?
You know, I have so much passion is to see all brothers and sisters. I do run a lot of women's courses or women's coaching programs, but my desire is that every single brother and sister comes fully alive without the shame, the guilt, like fully unleashed. You know, my program that I take people through is called You Unleashed. Why unleashed? Because I was locked up for years. And my desire is to see every brother and sister unleashed. Like, that means everything inside, unstuck, unrestrained, unstoppable. Like, you are totally free to be you, whole, alive, joyful, just fully healed. So that is my passion now, is to just speak that No matter the path we've walked. And again, it doesn't have to be this, you know, one thing is bigger than the other. It's whatever path, whatever belief system you have. If you just simply have had a belief system about yourself because your parents missed your love language and you just believe you're not worthy or you're not worth being seen, to become unleashed and realize that all those things are a belief system, a filter system that actually gets to be changed out. Like, we have so much power to change our belief systems, our filter system. That RIS system I talked about can actually be completely rewired. And so I take people through the steps of rewinding and unwinding. So that means going back into the past and figuring out, like, what was love languages? Where did the filter system get, you know, off grid from actual reality? Where do we need to rewire that filter system and becoming just free, just totally free, you know, rock it in your world.
Absolutely. And this is the thing. It's like everybody will have a story. Everybody. Yes. No one would have gotten out of this completely scot-free, because as children, you're just subconsciously woof, open. You're just going to take on absolutely everything. And so there's going to be filters. There's going to be things that I don't believe there's not one person alive today that hasn't got things that need to be addressed, because that's just how we are. That is the human condition. The way we are, the way our minds are when we're small, the way we learn things. And then we, you know, our subconscious wants to keep us safe. Yeah. Doesn't mean it wants us to thrive. It just is trying to protect us from danger. where we don't have the danger that we used to have when this process was needed. The danger is the danger we give ourselves, right? It's mental stress. It's the we're not running away from a saber-toothed tiger anymore. We might be just worried about where our next paycheck is going to come from, or where the next client has come from, or whatever the stress is. But the effect that it's having on a body is the same. I mean, it's crazy when we look at it. And so all these, all our programming, everybody will need to have it unwound. I love how you said that. Unwind it. You just gotta. You're gonna go back in, unwind it, clear it, so that you can move forward with confidence, living the life that you want to live. So you're helping people now. Are you still in the health and fitness arena, or is this what you're focusing on these days?
I'm doing it all, baby.
I got too old. I left the industry. I was in the industry. You've still got a while. Yeah, I was in it for 27 years. And then I decided, no, do you know what? I think I'll leave that to the young'uns now. Yeah. They can jump around like a lunatic. I've just switched now. Okay. But maybe I should go back to a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't have stopped it altogether.
Right.
Because if you don't use it, you lose it. And it's so true, isn't it? So to the listeners, if they can't see all the info down here, if they're just listening in, how would they get in touch with you?
A couple of ways. One would be just to find me on Instagram. So Instagram is Beautifully Broken Pieces. So that is my Instagram handle. I will need to find a better one for Facebook, because it's my name and my last name is a long German name and nobody would remember. So that's not. But the other one is, if you want to take a look at my courses that I offer, that is under www.brokenbeautifulyou.com/masterclass. So awesome. Those are kind of the two ways. I mean, it's very easy if you find me on Instagram to get the course info and stuff like that. So that's, again, Beautifully Broken Pieces. It's probably the simplest.
Beautifully Broken. We're not broken. Beautifully Broken Pieces. Yeah. Just unwind, have a clear out, have a bit of a tidy up, have a little bit of somebody said to me the other day, it's like you've got a little black box in your head that needs to be dealt with. It's like sometimes people are avoiding going into that black box and having a tidy up. It's time to have a look in your black box and have a tidy up.
Yeah, because you get to be free. Like, you get to heal. Like, I think changing the wording from I have to I get to is actually very powerful. Take that in anything. Oh my gosh, I have to clean the bathroom. I get to.
Yes.
How does that change your mood?
That is so big, how we talk to ourselves, because, who's listening? You are. Right? Your inner voice is listening. You're right. You know, again, some of these things that we can just often say from our conditioning without actually thinking, you're right there. I shouldn't say it. Well, again, there you go. I've said it again. I shouldn't. All this shouldn't. Again, it's just how we've been conditioned to automatically say some of this verbiage, and actually it may not be serving us. So it's only when, like you, making me aware of what I've just said there, so that you can change it. So there you go. I mean, awareness really is the step one before you can make any change. Because otherwise we just continue to speak in the way we speak through the conditioning we've had. And it's incredible that words will have an incredible, powerful effect on you.
So, so powerful. Words create. You know, I have such a strong faith in God, and He, in the Bible, He created the world. In the beginning, God spoke. He spoke. Our words create. They are not void. They come out and create and craft the world, right? And so just changing
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. Anything where it's, I have to go, you know, and find the black box. No, I get to. And then all of a sudden it's like,
yeah, it's a good thing. Well, that's it. It's like, you know, with weight loss, when we think we're going on a diet, it's like, we're going to lose out here. We're missing something. Whereas switching it around to, right, you're not losing something, you're gaining something.
Like
it's the same thing, isn't it? It's how we use our words that we should be a bit more careful in the verbiage that we use. So for you now, you talk about the five steps, right? So is this how you coach people through your own program, through these five steps?
I they need to be in order. The rewind unwind is step one. You must start there. Like, you have to go to the start and you know, take it through. And you know, the last step is to turn and serve. And that doesn't mean now go, you know, you don't have to go on a podcast, but how are you serving with your life? Because the greatest impact, I love the saying, I have it on, you know, all over a lot of places in my social media stuff. Morgan Harper Nichols says, be willing to tell others how you climbed your mountain, because it could become a page in someone else's survival guide one day. And that to me is that we must turn and serve. Like, that is the end. After all of the healing, you must turn and serve in some way, whether that's to your husband, whether that's to your spouse, partner, your kids, yourself. You must turn and serve. Go outward. You know, it's a lot of going inward at the start, but then we start to shift it into you get to go outward. And there's so much beauty and healing in that, which is why I'm so passionate now to just speak up and share. And yeah.
Which is why you're sharing your story in the hope that somebody that's, if they have been or are going through something similar, you might be a shining light to guide them in a different direction. And I suppose that's what everybody's doing. I mean, at the end of the day, I suppose that's why many coaches become coaches, is because they've had to deal with their own healing journey. And when they come out the other side, it's quite often a natural next step to want to go and share it and offer a way. I mean, I know, and there's lots of different ways. There isn't one size fits all. There's lots of different ways of doing the same thing. So many different therapies and holistic ways of being and mindset shifts and different tools. Everybody's got different tools in their toolbox. And they're all right. They're all good. They're all going to work. But it's all about it. But we're like we're saying here about the different five love languages, we're all slightly different. So we're all going to resonate with some different tools and practices. So you've got to go with what resonates with you, which is why it's so important to get your story out there so that the right people resonate with it. Mm-hmm. So that you can help them. So awesome. So you're in a happy place now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress. It's never never ending. And you know what, Karen, I think it's like John Maxwell says, if he had to choose between goals or growth, if he had to, he would always choose growth, because growth never leaves you satisfied. And so if I'm in a growth mindset, I'm going to push every day to be 1% better, 1% better, right? Never stop. So yes, I'm in a happy place, but I can be 1% better tomorrow, you know, than I was today. I just continue to push. And
absolutely. Yeah. And that is, it's a continual journey. It's, well, hopefully it's never going to end. I will do one day, but let's see how long we can keep going.
As long as we can, we're pushing.
Thank you so much for your time today. That's been lovely hearing from you, and thank you for your honesty and being so open. And this is, again, I suppose part of the process is allowing for other people to hear the story. It's the good, the bad, the ugly, isn't it? And we've all got these stories, so people out there, don't be afraid to face any part of it and deal with it, heal with it, wow. heal it, go back wow. and unwind. So, yeah, it's been interesting. So, guys, if you want to get in touch, can you just repeat for the last time the your website?
Yeah. So the Instagram is Beautifully Broken Pieces. And I would say that's the easiest. If you don't have Instagram, you can go to www.brokenbeautifulyou.com/masterclass. And you'll see info there as well.
Awesome.
But it's been a pleasure. Such an honor, Karen.
Well, no, thank you for being here. And to the rest of you guys, if there's any coaches or consultants or therapist healers and you would like to get your message out there to the people that need to hear it, then please get in touch if you want your own show, if you want your own podcast, would like to be on the directory as well, then book a call. The website, karenrobertscoaching.com/discovery. Come and have a quick informal chat with myself or one of our team. And other than that, I will be back on Thursday with a Coffee with Karen. So bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.